was really powerful, and I would have liked to, if I was the media, that's what I would have been covering, is talking to those people. Why are you here? Why do you feel so passionately that you're willing to put your safety and comfort on the line? That's what I would have done.
We've been speaking with Ann Peterman of the Global Justice Ecology Project. You can read her work at climateconnections.org. That's climate-connections.org. Thanks again for joining us on Counterspin, Ann Peterman.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's it for Counterspin for this week. Counterspin is produced by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group based in New York. FAIR also publishes a magazine called Extra that covers issues similar to those we talk about here on the show. You can get subscription information for Extra on FAIR's website. That's FAIR.org. The website is also the place to hear previous Counterspins and to sign up for FAIR's Action Alert Network. The show is engineered by Alex Noyes. With me is Steve Rendell. I'm Janine Jackson. Thank you for listening to Counterspin.
The time is 6:01. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Up next, Bread and Roses. Creativity and self-love with the Pudge PDX crew.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the final La Peña Flamenca de Portland of the season. On September 26th, at the Steep and Thorny Way to Heaven, La Peña Flamenca de Portland presents Berto Boyd with Daniel Azcarate and Elena Villa. There will be two performances, one beginning at 7 p.m. and the other at 9:30 p.m. La Peña Flamenca is a not-for-profit cultural association that promotes flamenco performances in Portland. Again, that's La Peña Flamenca de Portland, Friday, September 26th at the Steep and Thorny Way to Heaven on Southeast 2nd Avenue between Madison and Hawthorne in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor The Ghosts of Tonkin on Saturday, September 27th at 7:30 p.m. This award-winning play dramatizes the behind-the-scenes story of how public officials brought about one of the most devastating chapters in the history of the United States, the Vietnam War, and of Oregon Senator Wayne Morse, one of only two congressmen to vote against the Tonkin Resolution. There will be a discussion following the play, moderated by KBOO's Joanne Hardesty, and includes playwright Steve Lyons and others. Again, that's The Ghosts of Tonkin, Saturday, September 27th at Lincoln Hall on the Portland State University campus, 1620 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information on The Ghosts of Tonkin can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Tune into KBOO on Wednesday, October 1st for Turning the Tide on Climate Change.
An all-day special about climate change and the actions we must take now.
And don't miss a special guest, Naomi Klein, talking about her new book, This Changes Everything, Capitalism versus the Climate at 1 p.m.
That's Turning the Tide on Climate Change on Wednesday, October 1st, 8 a.m., 4 p.m. on
KBOO Portland.
Oh, hear the people singing, bread and roses.
Welcome to your favorite show. This is Bread and Roses. I'm Delphine Crescenzo. Bread and Roses is a collective of women-identified radio activists bringing you feminist news and public affairs programming. That's every Friday at 6 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 FM. Women have had this forum on KBOO since 1978. That's 35 years. We always welcome new collective members, so if you would like to host, produce, or engineer with us, you can contact KBOO's volunteer manager. Her email is volunteer@kboo.org. You can also find us on the web. That's kboo.fm/breadandroses. There you can listen to past shows, share comments, or even show ideas. And of course, you can find us on Facebook, KBOO Bread and Roses. Tonight, I am so happy to be co-hosting with new Bread and Roses Collective member. That's Avni Z. Welcome, Avni, to the collective.
Thanks, Delphine. Tonight, we have a conversation on creativity and self-love with Pudge PDX, a collective of diverse individuals who strive for promoting body acceptance through unique and passionate projects. We'll talk to Pudge PDX about the Pudge PDX 2015 Body Positive Plus Size Pinup Calendar, as well as the power of loving oneself. Pudge PDX started as a group of plus-size women who got together to share their stories and skills to create something beautiful. It turned into so much more. The members of Pudge PDX want to use their shared experience and talents to create space where people can learn to love themselves no matter what their size, race, gender, or sexual orientation is. Their website is pudgepdx.com.
And we are so lucky to be joined in the studio by three of the crew members, the collective members of Pudge PDX. We have Bethany Tate with us. She's worked in the cosmetic industry as a makeup artist, beauty consultant, and counter manager for the past 8 years. She loves helping people discover the ideal look, no matter what their age, size, ethnicity, sexual orientation, or lifestyle. Now disabled, she finally has the time to create the plus-size pinup calendar she has always dreamed of, and she is both the official makeup artist for and the original founder of Pudge PDX.
Beth Olson is also with us. Beth is a full-time photographer and designer who focuses on supporting artists and small business. She thrives in Portland with her intense love for geek culture, hoppy beers, and involvement with more than half a dozen creative groups in her free time. Beth is one of Pudge PDX's photographers and administrators.
And last but not least, we have Joanne Zeri also joining us in the studio. And Jonah is fat acceptance warrior located in Portland. After struggling with low self-esteem issues for the majority of her life, she discovered the Body Positive community on Tumblr, and shortly after, the live and thriving Body Positive community in Portland. Over the past few years, she has championed as an anti-authoritarian, anti-capitalistic fat babe with a take-no-prisoners attitude when it comes to the principle of bodily integrity. Donna is one of Pudge PDX's administrators and is in charge of social media. Welcome, all of you, to Bread and Roses.
Thank you.
Hi.
It's wonderful to have you. Let's start talking a little bit about the Pudge Collective. What is it, and how did you come together?
Well, we are all members of PDX Fatchin, which is a fat fashion group on Facebook. And one night in January, mid-January, I just kind of posted something, and I was like, hey, I want to make a calendar full of really cute fat girls, and does anybody want to do that? Like, maybe we should get body painted, or maybe we should do fun things around Portland, but let's just, you know, is anybody interested? And when I woke up the next morning, there was just so much support for it.
Wow.
So we quickly formed a little group on Facebook where we could talk just about the calendar for those that were interested in doing it. And then we met 2 weeks later, and all of us, none of us knew each other, but we all just had kind of the same ideas as far as what the calendar was going to be like. So we just went from there, and we've become really good friends since January.
And the name, how did you guys pick the name?
I think that was my fault.
Bethany, tell us.
Years ago, I wanted to start a fat girl band. And it was going to be kind of punky and kind of in your face, but in a really cute way. And I wanted to name it Pudge. So we were kicking around ideas, and I just kind of mentioned it. And it was like a light bulb. Like, it spoke to everybody that was there. So we kicked around some other ideas, but it just seemed playful but kind of pokey. And we love that it rhymes with fudge.
Which is always good.
Right.
Heck yeah.
Awesome. So how did the Pinup Calendar Project come to actually be?
You should Beth. Probably go with that. Yeah. Well, because I came in a little bit later. So.
Yeah. It came to be, we met up and just sort of threw around ideas, and it came together really quickly, actually. I was really surprised with how quickly people, we just sort of put out and were like, what about this, what about this, what about that? And people jumped on and they're like, I've got, you know, all these ideas. There, we were already voting on things and planning out the months. We had people jump up and be like, photographer, I got it. You got it. We've got photographers. Okay, done. It was very surprising how quickly everybody
makeup
came
artist.
Through. Yeah, makeup artists.
Yeah, we discovered that there were so many people in PDX Fetchin that had so many talents and skills that they could lend that it wasn't really our initial intent, but we just kind of found that we could make this project ourselves. Mm-hmm. We had the photographers, the makeup artists, the hairstylists, the fashionistas. We even have some great plus-size fashion designers here in Portland. So we became friends with them, and it's like we did it all ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it was really neat. And in the beginning, we really wanted everyone to be included. So we polled the whole group, like, what do you want to see in the calendar? And so we made a little poll, and you know, we went with the vast majority of what was voted on.
So let's talk a little bit more about that. Would you describe a couple of the month pictures, the themes that you've picked, and the beautiful women in? We have a mermaid, we have some lumberjacks.
I really
want, if you can describe a little bit visually what some of the pictures look like.
Well, I'll be honest, I don't know if I particularly know which month is going with which for all of them, or maybe we don't all know yet. But we do have one that's going to be fat mermaids. And so there's three fat mermaids and then like a whole bunch of beach babes. And we actually haven't gotten to see the final shots yet. So I don't know exactly what they're going to look like. But, you know, we had themes and stuff like that. My favorite one, we got together with the food cart in Southeast Portland for Voodoo Donut and had like a kind of Marie Antoinette set up. And so there was tons of cupcakes and cakes, and everybody had 18th century wigs and these gorgeous dresses, and it was like 100 degrees outside. But it was so beautiful and really colorful. And so that's actually one of my favorite ones. I can't wait to see that. And then we also, just recently, our last shoot was for Queer Pride. And so there was a fair going on a couple weekends ago, and we just happened to be having our shoot the exact same day. And so we ran down to the square right after they were closing down. And so there were still all different kinds of flags and like banners and stuff like that that were colorful that we used to our advantage, and and just had, you know, all different sizes and races and people of different sexual orientations and stuff like that, and got them all together. And just the makeup and the glitter, we literally had bags of glitter where we threw them on people, and we had like a mock gay wedding, and it was just really fun. And I mean, there's so many other ones that I could go on about, but that's a couple that we've got.
Beth, did you want to share others?
No, just you were talking about the glitter, and I was like, God, the sweeping. There's so much sweeping after that.
I totally bent out on that too. I was like, bye, I gotta go.
I'd love if you can talk a little bit about just a little bit more about some of the outfits, you know, that you guys are wearing, you know, and who is making them, like the mermaid outfits.
Oh, yeah. I'll talk about the mermaids. We worked with Shauna Farmer, who is the owner of Chubby Cartwheels. And she's got a great plus size line. I believe she'll make it for straight sizes too, but she focuses on plus size clothing. And she makes these really popular leggings out of scales. Mm. They're like iridescent and glittery looking scales. And that's one of her hot items. So we contacted her just to see if maybe she might have time to help us with our skirts, and she did. She was all about it. So we were so lucky to be able to work with her. So we had a little crafternoon, as we call it, a crafting afternoon, and everybody was invited, whoever wanted to play along. And we had our three fat mermaids bring in bras that fit them, and we spray painted them with lots of colors, and then had shells, and we each got to decorate the bras that we use as tops, and then Shauna created the skirts, and then we all worked on the tails. Mm-hmm. So, and nobody's really seen the tails yet. Mm-hmm. We're hiding some things for for everybody to see when it first comes out. So, and then we had Jonna's husband, Damien Zari of Zari Art. He came in and he body painted all of the mermaids. So then they had little scales to match their hair color. So we have a pink mermaid and an orange mermaid and a purple mermaid.
That's great. Yeah. So it sounds like you guys got really close in this with your whole community. And we'd love to know a little bit more about, the collaboration with one another on this project. Like, how did you all bring this together? It sounds like it went so smoothly, but there's a lot of participation here.
Beth? Yeah, I think, the kind of center for all of that is online, of course. Mm-hmm. Facebook was invaluable.
We wouldn't have been able to do this without Facebook. Yeah. It's just the truth.
So between events for every thing that people could come to, they were all open events, and everyone was welcome to participate however they felt, even if it was just, maybe they didn't want to model, but if they wanted to come and like glue glitter and sequins onto bras, then they were welcome to do that. And I think, at least for me personally, it's really important, not just the calendar project, but the entire process and how the ability for people to come together and do these little crafternoons and just touch base with face to face. Because there are a lot of Facebook groups and stuff where we all kind of keep in contact and stuff, but without that face to face, I don't know, there's something missing. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have that.
Yeah. Well, and we, would talk to each other online, but hadn't met each other, some of us. And so already knowing that we could kind of get along. But I think not only that, but being able to spend time with other people who have gone through the same kind of experiences that you have, with trying to lose weight or going on diets or being made fun of, or so much of this obviously is surrounded around fashion. And that's how it got started. And so being able to talk about what fits and what doesn't and what we like to wear. And one of our committee members actually runs a quarterly clothing swap. But it's for plus size, so that's, we all get to check out each other's new clothes and trade off and stuff. So I think it's not just about, obviously it's the project, but the group in itself, the collective, is also about having safe spaces where we can participate in the same things that straight size people do in, and we don't have to worry about feeling like we need to hide ourselves or that we might be attacked somehow, and then also being able to just kind of share our experiences and the idea of not being alone in your experience, regardless of whether it's about what size you are or anything that you feel like makes you different, is just so comforting and liberating. And so for me, at least, I think that's a big part of what Pudge is about. It's not just the calendar is something for us to work toward, and it does do a lot to convey the message and try to get body acceptance out there, even to audiences that aren't involved in the collective, but for us personally, with the friendships and the experiences that we've been able to create for ourselves, it's really been edifying for us as well. So it's just kind of a self-serving thing where, yeah, it looks really nice that we're trying to help other people, but we're actually just being selfish and creating spaces for ourselves and having a good time. And so,
yeah, and I think that your website like really point at this is like, okay, this is the pinup calendar is like what we're working on, but these are our ambitions, you know, to be a collective where we can be all creative together, and that skill sharing, you know, thank you so much for saying that. Like, it's like so much resources, you know, among us, and you know, I just had a quick question about models, like how did people actually decide that they wanted to actually model for the calendar. Was everybody into it? Everybody wanted to do it.
I really was kind of afraid that we might not be able to find 12 girls that felt comfortable enough to get in front of a camera and pose and, you know, be the center of attention for that month. But you know, right from the beginning, we wanted everyone to feel included. So even if you have never been in front of the camera since your high school photograph, we wanted you to feel like maybe this would be a great place to start if you wanted to learn how to, you know, get better about being photographed. And I think we wound up with over 70 people that wanted to model for our calendar. And so that was a great challenge to meet, and that was another meeting in and of itself that we had to say, okay, well, 70 people want to model, how are we going to do this? And so some months, I think one of the months we have 9 models, and I think the least number of people that we have in one month is 3. So we tried to fit in as many people as were available the day that, you know, we needed to shoot. But it was great. It was through Fat Fashion, the PDX Fatchin group, that we just started asking people, and anybody that showed any kind of interest, they got invited to our group, and then we gave them a little questionnaire. We needed to know, you know, their different sizes for things so we could start collecting outfits. And it was really important for us to look for a good diverse group for each month. So they're not all the same body type. We wanted to have like a tall person or a short person, or we just wanted to make sure that everything, every size was represented. So that was fun. It went a lot smoother than I ever dreamed it would, honestly.
It's really unbelievable how smoothly this entire thing has come together.
You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm Delphine Crescenzo, and I'm here with Abani Z, and we are both welcoming members of the Pudge PDX Collective. I would like to encourage you to go to pudgepdx.com, check out the calendar, also donate there for the creative endeavor. And we are going to take a short musical break, and we'll be right back continuing this conversation about creativity and self-love, body acceptance. So stay tuned.
Great.
Oh, down beside that red firelight. Oh, you gonna let it all hang out. Fat bottom girls, you make the rocking world go round. Hey! I was just a skinny lad. Never knew no good from bad. But I knew life before. Left alone with
listened to Queen Fat
Bottom. Sorry, you just listened to Queen Fat Bottom Girls. This is Abani Z, and my co-hostess Delphine Crescenzo and I are talking with the crew of Pudge PDX, Bethany Tate, Beth Olson, and Jonna Zari. There we go. Thank you, Jonna.
No problem.
No one can get it like you, right?
Right.
And this is amazing. I'm really excited to be speaking with you here today. We would like to talk a little bit about the body acceptance, why it's important, and as you had brought up in the break there, why do we use the word fat
and be fine with it?
Like,
For us, fat isn't a bad word. It's the same thing as saying thin or skinny or tall or short. It's just a descriptor. Mm-hmm. It's not. We realize that socially it has a really bad connotation, but we've decided that we're going to take it back and own it. Yes. And that it's going to mean what it means for us. It's just a body size.
It's all fun.
So, yeah, we don't want it to be a bad word anymore, because for us, being fat isn't a bad thing.
No.
And also, for some people, especially for me, I don't like the term overweight, because that poses the question over what weight,
exactly,
which goes into BMI, which actually isn't a scientific thing.
This is our next question.
Right.
We can talk about next question.
we don't view it as a bad word at all, and we really want to own it and make it, you know, a positive thing. So we use that word all the time. We don't even really think about it.
Nice.
And why is body acceptance important? What do we need to be talking about that?
Well, more important than anything else, because of mental health.
Hmm.
It's not healthy psychologically to hate yourself. And socially, we're just inundated with images and, well, it's easy for me to go off onto the anti-capitalistic thing like my bio, you know, because companies make hundreds of thousands of dollars every single minute of every day that they make you hate yourself and hate your body, and they profit from that. And so, but psychologically, it just does unbelievable damage, and it affects relationships, how you, you know, treat your body and your health and your in relationships at work. And it just, I mean, it's really insidious. And I don't think that very many people really know. I mean, it's only been recently, within the past couple of years, that studies have actually started to be done about the psychological repercussions of different industries and social hate toward fat people and the medical community, you know, and that kind of thing. So it's just not good. It's just not good for you.
Delphine and I were talking about this, and one of the questions I had was, we really did want to talk about the way women are depicted in the media, and why our society really encourages a culture of thinness that isn't a true reflection of reality. I don't know. Like, do you?
Well, I don't want to dominate the conversation.
Beth is like, I guess
I totally agree. I think, like, I'm a little bit one-sided about my thoughts on this, but it really, I believe truly that it has everything to do with money. Mm-hmm. And like, you said, like, so much of it.
I feel like it's about morality, ultimately. Well, I mean, money, as far as making women especially hate themselves and feel like you need to repair your skin because it's broken, and, you know, you need to wear makeup because you're not pretty, that kind of stuff. But ultimately, as far as a social idea, like if you just go walking out on the street and somebody yells at you out of the car that you're a fat cow, honestly, I feel like that's about morality, which, I mean, they're not separate. Because in my mind, historically speaking, fat cats, that term comes from, you know, the aristocracy. They had all the money, and the peasants were working out in the field, and they had dark skin because they were in the sun, which now is prized. But if you had pale skin, that was a big deal, because it meant that you weren't working outside. And people who had money and had peasants working for them ate a lot and didn't do a lot, and the peasants were out in the field working really hard and barely had anything to eat. So the concept of fat people being greedy and gluttonous was very true up until like the past 100 years. And so now, even though what's accepted as beautiful is different. The psychology and the morality behind fatness, I personally think, mm-hmm. is still behind that. And that does have to do with money, that whoever has the money is the greedy one. Mm-hmm. And you can even still see illustrations of, like, you know, CEOs being illustrated as big and fat, and that the, mm-hmm. you know, minimum wage worker is thin, even though it's actually kind of the way,
yeah.
you know, you've seen obesity, quote, obesity numbers rise along with poverty levels in this country, mm-hmm. and it's because of the lack of ability to access food that's yeah. good for you, and everything's full of sugar. And so anyway, I could go on and on, but yeah, I mean, it's I feel like morality and money are ultimately the basis of mm-hmm. it, because people who aren't fat, not everyone obviously, but a lot of people who aren't fat feel that fat people are morally degenerate,
yes.
or defective, or worthless, unlovable, and if you're not trying to lose weight, then you're not a good fatty, and you're not a good person, and you're not trying to be thin, because being thin equals good, equals positive, yeah. equals better. And so I feel like a lot of people feel that they're better than fat mm-hmm. people, that fat people are subhuman.
Or they become fearful of it, too. I know a lot of children who have expressed being fearful of being fat, and it's always surprised me. They're afraid of it, and I don't understand how they became afraid of this, because, I don't know, I have a child, and I try to teach him this is a body, period.
Yeah.
I love my body. So it becomes...
The messages are just so insidious. Mm-hmm. They're like, I mean, they come from places you don't even realize.
Mm-hmm.
And they're happening constantly every single day, and it's a battle. It's not like you can just get to a place where you go, I love my body and I'm fat and I'm okay with it, mm-hmm. and then you're fine. You have to work every day,
yep.
to continue mm-hmm. to accept yourself, because there's a lot of things working against you feeling mm-hmm. that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one other thing is the images, right, that we are being shown on a daily basis, and I think especially as women, right? And for me, it's like that question around the media depiction is also one that involve patriarchy, right? It's like, who are creating those images? Certainly not women. you know,
well,
wealthy
women are seen
men.
As subhuman as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. So it's like, you know, wealthy men, you know, up there owning all these like media and fashion companies and magazines and TVs, etc., are putting out there those depictions as to what's the perfect woman,
and they profit off of it if you mm-hmm. buy into it.
Yeah,
if you think that you're ugly or you're mm-hmm. not thin enough,
yeah.
they make money off of making you feel that way.
Yeah, they do. Let's talk a little bit about if you don't mind sharing personally when and how you came to the realization that you didn't want to fit those standards anyways, that you're just fine the way you are.
For me, it's been fairly recent, actually.
Oh, really?
With Pudge.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, there's always... I got involved in roller derby in, like, 2008, and I think that was, like, my first glimpse of, like, feeling really good with myself and powerful and... very, like, I really didn't care what other people thought, because I had my own place in the world. But I think meeting up with the Pudge group and meeting all these women who had, like, really strong beliefs about themselves, and of course we're all working on it constantly, like mm-hmm. you said, because it is yeah. a constant struggle, mm-hmm. but it was like, it occurred to me suddenly that I had the permission to like myself the way I was. Like, suddenly I realized I didn't have to keep waiting to lose weight to be, like, it was okay. Like, I had the permission to just go ahead and be happy with my life. Mm-hmm. And it had never occurred to me before that I didn't have to be better or different or change. Like, there's an entire community of people out there that are happy with the way things are, and mm-hmm. man, that's changed everything for me.
It's really liberating.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's been sort of a daily process of just being very focused on not letting that inner speak happen, those like negative thoughts, mm-hmm. and just like meditation almost, mm-hmm. where the moment they come in, nope, I'm yeah. awesome. And it sounds super cheesy, but it is a mantra yeah. of I'm awesome, I kick butt, like, and mm-hmm. and every time I'm like, oh man, my stomach this, or oh man, these pants that, like, no, I like shut it down immediately. Yeah. And it, I've seen just, I mean, over the course of a couple of months, I started noticing huge changes about the way I carried myself and mm-hmm. the way that I interacted with people. And
the way people respond.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the huge thing. Like, I will go out in public every once in a while. I'll have no makeup on. I'm just wearing whatever, like, was, like, the first thing I grabbed. Mm-hmm. And the way I interact with, like, some, like, cute dude on the other side of the counter, and the way that they respond, mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, I totally did not do my hair or my makeup, and it doesn't freaking matter.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know.
It doesn't.
What about you?
Bethany, would you share?
It's been a long journey for me, too, and I've been a chunky girl ever since I can remember, really. I think a big turning point for me was I'd been in two really long-term relationships up until 2005. And so there I was at 29, faced with dating again. Mm. And it was really hard to meet new people in a relatively new city. And I did the internet dating thing for a little bit. I tried that out. And it was so much like, wow, you are just an amazing person. I love the music that you like. I love your personality. Mm-hmm. I like your style, but you need to lose some weight. Mm. Like, you're the perfect girlfriend if you could just lose 50 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
And I heard that like four times.
Oh God.
And, I think you're really cool, but my friends are going to make fun of you if we show up to a party together. So it was like, I was good enough, but only in dark corners. And and I had to really think about like that kind of thing. Like, do I lose this weight so I can find a decent guy, so I can be what he wants? Or do I say, no, I'm not going to do that for you. If I'm going to lose weight, it's going to be on my terms, mm-hmm. and at my pace. But, you know, as much as I try, my body just really likes to be a size 24. I can exercise, I can diet, I can exclude all these things from my diet, and my body just really likes to be this. So I kind of had to get to the point where I was like, no, I'm going to find somebody that likes me for me. And if I lose weight later on, then that's great. But I've got to be me, and people just have to really know me and accept all of me. So it was almost like a defiant, like, I'm not going to lose weight for you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it.
How very punk of you.
Mm-hmm. And I love, you know, the echo here of, you know, I just don't have to lose weight to wait until I'm thinner to be happy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, I can already be happy, mm-hmm. and people, you know, can just love me for who I am.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can love me for who I am.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
That and proud. Donna, did you want to share as well, or?
Oh, sure. I got a little bit through fashion stuff, which I'm not really into, but a friend of mine is, and she had gone online and found a couple of websites that were about cute clothes for fat girls and stuff, mm-hmm. and they happened to be on Tumblr, mm-hmm. and so I was like, all right, well, I'll get one because you're on there, and I didn't really know how it was working or anything, and I just started following people that she was following, and they were all body positive and fat positive blogs, which, so I didn't really have a goal for it. I just kind of, you know, followed people I thought were interesting, and I kept seeing all these images of all these really beautiful women, and they were fat, but they were gorgeous, mm-hmm. and I like their clothes were cute, and they were smiling, and some of them would be wearing bikinis, and some of them would be completely nude, and I just thought they were beautiful, mm-hmm. and so the more I saw that, the more I like sought out more of those, and every day I would spend, you know, way too much time, because it's Tumblr, looking at these pictures and stuff. And then one day, I'd taken a shower, and I got out of the shower, and there's a mirror right in front of my shower, unfortunately. No, I'm kidding. I mean, most people would say that. And I felt that way at the time, but I got out of the shower, and I saw my body in the mirror, and it looked just like those girls that I looked at. And just like that, I was like, I look just like them. I'm beautiful like they are. And I realized that ultimately what had been happening was I had been normalizing the fat body in my mind. And that's, for me, part of the reason why media images really are, like I keep saying, insidious, because we get inundated with these shapes over and over again. And then when we see a fat body, it's kind of an anomaly. Like literally, it just looks weird to us. And so that's part of the reason why we really like the idea of the calendars, because if we can get into more households and more, you know, just more exposure, that we can normalize fat bodies. Because I realized that I just had these neural pathways that were burned a specific way, and that I always saw them a certain way. And then the more I looked at a different kind of image, that it became more acceptable to me. And that's when I realized all these women that I thought were so beautiful, I look just like them. I'm beautiful too.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing your personal stories. And I'd like to officially credit on the air Samantha Taylor for introducing me to fat positive, you know, body acceptance. Loving the idea, because whenever I think about my body, I see the reflection of the other women in my, you know, in my life, you know, my mothers, grandmothers, you know, aunts, cousins, like, this is what we look like.
Yeah.
And yes, we are not in the media, you know, and we're not, you know, on calendars, though that's changing. But we are everywhere, in the streets, we're your neighbors, your family, and that's what's so, so important for folks to realize. So thank you for sharing your personal stories. You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm Delphine Crescenzo. I'm here with Abenizi, and we have the amazing collective member of the Pudge PDX Collective here. We're going to take a short musical break. This is India Irie Video. This is a message for all of you girls. Just, you know, love yourself the way you are.
Sometimes I won't. Depending on how the wind blows, I might even paint my toes. It really just depends on whatever feels good in my soul.
The name of the game. You're listening to Bread and Roses, India Irie. We just finished listening to, I'm Delphine Crescenzo, the wonderful Albanese. Welcome to the collective. So exciting. And we have with us in the studio three members of the Pudge PDX collective. That's John Azari, Bethany Tate, and Beth Austin. Thank you so much, guys, for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. And for, you know, sharing your stories. I feel sometimes we don't always realize how stories are gifts, you know, so I really want to acknowledge that I'm taking this as a gift that you are sharing of yourself tonight. I'd love for us to talk a little bit more about, you know, as you accept yourself, you know, very often, at least that's the message that I got from my mother, and this is how I developed food addiction, you know, because my mother just thought that I needed to diet because I was not healthy. And in fact, when I was dieting was the unhealthy part of my life.
Right.
Today, I do not diet. I do not weigh myself. I am what people would consider overweight, right? But like over which weight?
Of course.
Yes. I'm the happiest, healthiest that I've ever been. Haven't had to go to a doctor in years, except for just regular check-in. Everything is clear, clean, perfect. Let's talk about healthy at every size. What does that mean?
Well, you know, we have many members of our collective that are very athletic. Mm-hmm. We have vegans and vegetarians and gluten-free people. We've got people who are roller derby girls or they do yoga three times a week. You know, we've got fat yoga here in town.
Yes,
and
Foster.
A lot of our girls and, you know, everybody else, they love going there and getting their exercise. So we can, you know, you truly can be healthy at every size. The health part, I think people really try to show concern for fat people because they assume they're unhealthy, but a lot of times that's not the case at all. And we really just kind of want to remind people that that's a gross generalization, and you know, it's more a personal matter. But the thing is, our health is our business.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can be concerned to a point, but it's our body and, you know, we share our information with our doctors and we do what we need to do to be healthy. And I don't really think that when people worry about health, I don't think that that is truly sincere, because it's more what they want to convey as what health is, rather than the conversations that I've had with my doctor as to what is healthy for me personally.
Yeah. And so, while you're talking about that, I really want to know, I want the viewers to know, or listeners to know, how do we educate each other and our society about that, those topics? Like, how do we explain, I'm okay at this size? You, like you said, your body's a natural size 24. Mine seems to be like a natural 16. It's been here for years, and I feel great. I have energy. I take care of my son. But there still are so many, like, fat shamings, like the victims of fat shaming. And what are some of the things that we can do to really keep ourselves grounded and teach each other?
Beth, they're pointing at you.
Yeah, I'm pointing at you because my take on this is completely different.
Well, yeah. Staying grounded. I don't know.
it's a tough question.
It is, yeah. Well, I think.
I mean, like you said, that the it's kind of a new journey for you. So
yeah,
maybe.
That's what, yeah. That's, I think I'd be interested to hear what you have to say,
yeah.
Jonna.
Well, what do you tell people? Yeah.
I don't. Okay. I'm not going to have the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I'm more interested in bodily integrity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's my body, and it's none of your business. Mm-hmm. You can't make a decision about my level of health by looking at me.
Yeah. Yep.
And there's plenty of thin people who sit around and don't do anything and eat candy and eat tons of things that are bad for them.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody calls them up on a radio show and says, well, I'm just worried about your health.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with that.
Yes.
It really doesn't have anything to do with that. And people like to use health as, like I was saying earlier, a way of being morally self-righteous and saying, oh, well, but no, but your health. when, I mean, if you really wanted, if you cared about that, it would be really easy for you to discover that there's fat Olympians.
Yes.
There's all kinds of fat people who not only are healthy, but are athletic. Yes. And, I mean, just proving that it, your body size has absolutely nothing to do with your health.
Mm-hmm.
And so anybody who asks me about health or brings it up is, like Bethany said, just using a gross generalization for the purpose of continuing to hide fat bodies, shame fat bodies, and silence us.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm in a conversation with somebody and they bring it up, I literally am just like, I'm not going to have that conversation with you, because it's not about that.
Yeah.
You want it to, we want to pretend like that's what it's about, but that's not really what it's about. And it's my body.
Mm-hmm.
So what if I sit around and I eat and I don't do anything? That's none of your business.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't tell by looking at me whether or not I do that.
Yeah.
So I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about why you feel so compelled to talk to me, somebody you don't even know, who's a complete stranger to you, about whether or not I'm being healthy, because you don't like the rolls on my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that.
About you, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's talk about where that comes from.
Why are
you
projecting that on?
Yeah.
You, it has nothing to do
Bethany.
With
Bethany?
I think something that Jonna touched on a little bit ago is mental health is... is
what
just as
that?
Important as physical health, and it starts with us. We have to start with ourselves, and maybe the physical health is going to be a little hard for some people. Maybe some people are disabled. Maybe they're on medications that make them gain weight. Maybe there are obstacles that if they do want to lose the weight, that maybe it is challenging. But for the mental health, that's going to control sometimes your physical health.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are constantly saying to yourself, you're not good, or you're not good enough, or you need to just keep working, you're not there yet, that tells you that you're not lovable or valuable in the society the way you are right now. So our mission is to allow ourselves the opportunity to see ourselves the way we are in this very moment and celebrate it.
Yeah.
And we have to say, flaws and all, you know, I got this big old belly roll, but I'm a good person and I do good things for a lot of people. And that's valuable. Why can't that be more valuable than the cellulite on my thighs?
Yeah. Well, I also want to know when anyone has ever seen someone treat something that they hate well.
Yeah.
If you hate something, why would you be nice to it?
Yeah.
Why would you take care of it?
Right.
I was really, really mean to my body in a whole plethora of ways that we do not have time for. And now that I love my fat body the way it is, I am actually technically healthier.
Yes.
I am so much kinder to my body, and I feel better and enjoy it, and I love being in my body, and I use it so much more than I used to
because
I felt like my fat weight was literally weighing me down and keeping me from being able to go skateboarding and swimming and riding my bike. And now I just do all the things because I don't feel limited by my fatness.
Right.
So why would I take care of something that I hate? Why don't you should care more about whether or not people love themselves or at least accept where they are and then take care of that thing, as opposed to, well, you should just lose weight because there's something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel defective, why would you take care of it?
Right. And I think that that's also something that people who are thinner, unfortunately, sometimes experience as well.
Yeah.
The hatred, the self-hatred.
Oh, absolutely.
And they are very unhealthy from it.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like that's definitely... I think, you know, men and women have that problem, but women definitely have...
Mm-hmm.
Because we have so many societal pressures to be perfect that... I mean, the most beautiful woman...
Mm-hmm.
can hate herself or hate something about herself. And, of course, the rest of us are like, okay, you clearly are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
How could you possibly think that there's something wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's all about, I think, more about women.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we're going to have you guys on the show again.
Definitely.
To continue this conversation. In the last few minutes, I'd love to hear... you know, what would be your advice to parents out there who, you know, have kids, whether they are fat or not, right? Mm-hmm. Like how can they actually raise these children to love themselves no matter what, and love each other, right? Love the other kids mm-hmm. around.
I think it's a little bit difficult just because none of us have kids. So to like give advice, be like, you should be doing this. But I would say from my experience growing up and, mm-hmm. you know, like we all did.
We were all children once.
I think for me personally, just using the language and like we were talking about the word fat, I think for me that was so stigmatizing that just the word, not even in connection to me or anything about me, would give me a knot in my stomach mm-hmm. growing up. Like, and so through this whole thing, this whole process, being able to normalize that word and completely take away that like equation mm-hmm. with all the negatives,
yeah. mm-hmm.
I think is a huge deal. And I've noticed that in my dealings with my friends and my family and even my niece, who's, you know, young, mm-hmm. That using the word fat and allowing them to understand that it's just the word, it doesn't have other connotations, mm-hmm. there's this interesting freedom that seems to come along, and you notice people sort of like start to use it mm-hmm. in their language with you, and it's kind of tentative at first where they sort of mutter the word fat under their, you know, when they're talking about something, but then it becomes yeah. easier for them, and the conversation like doesn't come to a stop mm-hmm. when people are trying to talk about fat people, but they mm-hmm. don't, they're like, but you're fat, but I don't want to go there. So it's interesting being able to give other people the permission to be able to use that word, yes. and yeah. Help them understand that there isn't any other mm-hmm. you know, there isn't negativity to that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's all about starting with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be very conscious about what we think and what we say. And children have two ears. They're always open. So what we say to ourselves, what we say about ourselves, mm-hmm. what we say in the presence of children is really important. So if we're going to use the word fat, let's put it with something awesome,
yeah.
you know, or use it as a descriptive word that has no negative connotation.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe we should be wary about saying, oh, I need to go on a diet, or I can't wear a bikini this summer because I feel too fat, mm-hmm. or, you know, just those little things have a huge impact. So it's more about just listening to ourselves and being very careful about what we say and the impact that it has.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I would say is...
Yeah, you want to grab the mic?
Sorry. The only thing I would say is, how do you get rid of bigotry in general?
Yeah.
Anytime you come across any kind of bigotry, how do you
interrupt
keep that from happening in your family?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that is, that's what you do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the final words of wisdom. And you know, I really truly want to thank you, and I really think that we need to continue this conversation on the air a second time. Listeners, please go to pudgepdx.com. You can also go to indiegogo.com and look for Pudge PDX Body Positive Plus Size Pinup Calendar, and just enjoy the creativity, art, and beauty of this calendar. Try to help them up so that help them out so that the calendar comes out and you can hang it on your wall.
You have a $10,000 goal, and from what I saw before I came here, it was about $2,500 mm-hmm. around.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
please.
We're trying to raise
yeah.
money for the printing.
Yeah.
Mostly the printing and the
Excellent.
Shipping of the
yeah.
calendar. That's
Absolutely.
It. Everything else has been done already.
Yeah. So pudgepdx.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For
thank
the,
you.
All of you to come in. Thank you, Ebony, for co-hosting with me. Thank you, Leanne, for engineering. This was Bread and Roses. We are a collective of women-identified radio activists, and we bring you feminist news and public affairs every Friday. Please find us on Facebook, KBOO Bread and Roses, and also on the web, kboo.fm/Bread and Roses. And have a wonderful week. We're going to leave you with Zapp and Rogers. This is More Bounce to the Ounce.
More bounce. More bounce. 2 years ago, Portland lost a musical and cultural icon with the passing of Ghanaian master drummer, bandleader, and teacher Obo Adi. His contribution to the raising of local knowledge and appreciation of African music in general, and Ghanaian music in particular, and his tireless work with local youth cannot be overstated. As part of our fall membership drive, KABU is proud to present a celebration and retrospective of Obo's work on Thursday, October 2nd, from 1 until 4 p.m. Musical offerings, remembrances, and interviews will be part of this important figure's legacy. Join Andy Hosh and DJ Charlie and others at 1 p.m.